The teams take their turns at a run. At 12, it's the turnover. The first team leaves quickly. No time to waste. Everyone wants to get first on the bus. Where do they live? In what conditions? To answer, we have to follow a bus chartered by building companies. If they hurry to come back, it's because the last ones will sleep on the floor.
When we come back at night, there's no electricity. We finish eating at 4 a.m. We go to bed, and that's our typical day.
Have you ever complained to the company?
Several times.
The boss says if he wants to put 20 people in here, he can.
If we complain too much, they'll throw us out.
Out. Back to India.
We've been in the room for 1 minute and the guard arrives. It's forbidden to talk to workers or to fill the camp.
No problem.
It is problem. So why is the problem?
This says out, even outside.
Okay, you take this portion, no problem.
You can take that portion.
Okay. Inside it is not allowed.
Without our head office permission.
In fact, these so happy workers are very angry and they want to speak. Some don't want them to do so, but will come back without the guard knowing it.
It was at 12:30, it was 55.
Degrees centigrade, in the sun or in the shadow?
In the sun.
No, I think it's usually in the shadow it's taken, not in the sun.
Why?
Maybe this is the general practice of taking temperature.
But they work in the sun.
But they are working under the sun, they are.
On Hamdar's building site, after his break, it was 55 degrees Celsius. There are so many sunstrokes on Dubai building sites that the government has imposed a break between 12:30 and 4:30 p.m. Many companies would rather pay fines than delay their works. At Dubai Hospital, doctors tell us off the camera that each day they have 15 workers who suffer from a sunstroke and as many workers heavily injured on sites. In this section of the Al Rashid Hospital, all the beds are occupied by Asian laborers. There we meet Rafi, a 26-year-old Indian worker. He's been run over by a bulldozer and has been paralyzed for 6 months.
Half members of the company come to visit you here.
Nobody came.
The Indian consulate celebrates the anniversary of independence. Within the people, not one emirati, not a single representative came. Even if in Dubai, 4 out of 10 inhabitants are Indian people, the Indian consul has very few power on local politics. It's not in his interest to upset the emirs. The visas they issue to Indian people allow his country to get rid of millions of unemployed people and to bring money in India. What can he do for his nationals apart from admitting his impotence?
And problem is not whether the companies abide by the initial regulation. The problem is whether they implement what they have promised. That is the problem. And for that, we, with our constraints in the consulate and in the embassy of limited staff, etc., we try and monitor that. Obviously, our monitoring is not foolproof because you see in Dubai, the construction industry, can you imagine how many companies are there? How many labor camps there will be?
Off the camera, the consul shows us a confidential document. It's a census of people dead from work in Dubai. Figures are frightening. Every day, 2 Asian workers die on the building sites of this town. The authorities again remain silent. Another figure is striking, the number of workers' suicides. 1 out of every 4 days, according to the consulate's figures. The local press, controlled by the state, hardly ever mentioned this situation. Only one case has been made public in December. A 24-year-old Indian worker hung himself in his bedroom. Prerna Suri, a young Indian journalist, revealed the case. She is in charge of reports on the Indian community for a Dubai newspaper.
It's very difficult to get information over here. Nobody, the local authorities don't help us. The police is not forthcoming. The companies don't like to tell us information. The only lead that we have is through the workers, friends and family.
She has just learned that a young Nepali worker has killed himself. The company says he did so because he was alcoholic and had gambling debts. Prerna is not convinced by the employer's statement. She wants to meet the young man's friends. She has to wait for the nap time of the guard to investigate.
They could call the company, then the company can call the police, and they can tell us that why are you here? You shouldn't be here. And if we tell them that we're doing, if we want to find out more information about any guy who was here, they'd probably say it's none of your business. Should stay out of it.
Upstairs, she meets the one who told her about the suicide. He's a colleague of the young Nepali worker and arrived like him 2 years ago in Dubai.
You went to the hospital?
Yes, we took the body to the mortuary with two colleagues of mine.
Isn't it too hard?
It's really hard.
We're going to his room.
His friends are sleeping. They've worked all night long.
Sunil, the victim, hung himself in his bedroom. His friends have packed his belongings. Tomorrow, they'll send the luggage to Nepal with the coffin.
At 8 a.m., I came back from work. Doors were closed. I couldn't enter. I came in by the window, and I saw him hanged up to the fan.
Here?
He hung himself with a sheet.
Bed sheet, sir.
Sunil shared his room with two friends from his village. They all came here to feed their families. These pictures show the happy days that followed their arrival. Their dream seemed to be at hand.
Today is his first wedding anniversary. He stayed 2 months with his wife and had to leave.
His boss says he played cards and gambled away a fortune.
He never spent any money on gambling.
Did he drink?
A bit, like everyone does.
Very often? Every evening?
No, not much.
Sunil was to come back home 2 days before his suicide. He killed himself not because he was alcoholic, but because he was ashamed of not earning enough for his family. Prerna is going to investigate by phoning his hometown. She speaks to his best friend.
Do you know when the corpse is due to arrive?
Tonight, at around 11 p.m.
Sunil's parents have mortgaged their house to pay for his visa. The young man knew he wouldn't have enough savings to pay off the debt.
Do you know why he killed himself?
He couldn't cope with the pressure over there. That's what he said to his mom. But his parents got into debts for him, so he was stuck there.
Did he pay the visa to a smuggler?
Yeah, 100,000 rupees.
2,000 euros, a year's salary to pay back the smuggler.
Now that he's dead, how are they going to pay? Are they going to sell their land?
It won't be enough, though. Their land is too small.
It's like once they are here, they are trapped somehow.
Yes, it's a golden cage. That's what I tell everyone. Dubai is a golden jail. You know, I mean, you come here, it's gilded. It promises so many dreams. But once you're here, you realize what it is.
The trap quickly closes on them. In Dubai, employers automatically seize the workers' passports. They cannot change their employer nor come back home without their company's approval. Without a passport, the employee is prisoner of his contract. In a couple of days, we found dozens of employees who want to leave Dubai and come back home. This is the case of Nirmal Singh, who hasn't been paid for 6 months. He wants to break his contract and leave. He begs his employer to let him go back to India in vain.
I can't take it anymore. My family needs me there. See this big tree? I've prepared a rope. I'm going to kill myself. Nobody's listening. I wanted to live for 6 months even without my salary.
Nirmal Singh's company is at 1 kilometer from his camp. It's owned by an Emirati, but directed by an Indian family.
Hello. Good evening.
A father and his son.
Okay.
For them, it's a common story. Evening, they don't understand why we care and forbid us to talk about
television.
It.
And I was explaining your Nirmal Singh, you know
yes.
him?
Yes, you call him. He will, now in front of me, I will not tell anything. He will touch your feet, I'm sorry. He is always drunk. From drunk man, what you can get?
So just give him back, give him his labor card and his passport and he will change company?
We are deporting him, not giving just passport and it is not the rule here.
Why not?
No. Once we brought the reply, we have to terminate and send back to India.
Why do you keep the passport of the worker?
Because it is a practice like everybody.
Why?
Because we want to control the people.
Everything is controlled to avoid the one day hundreds of thousand laborers rebel in Dubai. They're deprived of their passport, strike is forbidden, unions are outlawed, they can't fight. The investors' profits depend on it as well as Dubai's idyllic image that Pascal Magnier praises to French businessmen. After our flight above Dubai, we meet him at his office in the DTCM headquarters, a department in charge of promoting Dubai overseas. He is with his Emirati representative.
They don't have the right to strike, for example. So why that? I mean,
there are differences between different countries. So things are working very well here. We don't face such problems at this time. You know, we didn't face, but the reason is that they are happy. They are happy for what they get.
So that's why they don't need, for example, labor unions?
Yeah, we don't have labor unions. I don't mean they don't need, but it is not allowed to have such an organized unions.
Why not?
This is a good question. Can you help me?
Yes. Well,
sorry for the...
No, of course.
In French?
Why are unions and strikes forbidden?
A reason of Dubai's success is that it is a free market. It's
for better or for worse.
Absolutely. It's ultra-liberalism. All good conditions are gathered, as long as, I'd say, you have no social security when you enter Dubai.
In this huge market of laborers, we were able to set up a scale after a 3 weeks investigation. An Indian worker is worth 180 euros per month, a Bengali 150, a Nepali 100. But today the most valued workers are the Chinese ones. For a few months now, local authorities have been issuing visas easily in order to reduce the number of Indian people in their country. Chinese workers have their own camp outside Dubai, next to the desert. We thought we'd seen it all, but we found even worse than the Indian or Nepali camps. The Chinese camp is made of prefabs, surrounding a kind of open-air canteen.
Hello. Hello. Speak English? No? Come. Ah, sleeping?
Oh. It's impossible to speak English with them. All these workers are farmers from the poorest regions of China.
Speak English? No? English speak? No? English?
In each room, there are 36 beds, or 36 wooden boards that are stacked. No mattresses, no separation between beds. A total promiscuity.
Where's the bathroom? Over there?
Oh.
There are 550 workers who live here, and they share only one bathroom. It really stinks.
You speak English? Hello.
The head of the camp is 23 years old and is the only one to speak English.
But we are from France, you know, France.
Oh, you're from France.
Yeah, we are from France. So we are going to open two stores in the mall.
Yeah.
But we need workers, so...
Workers...
But I mean, you, with your company, can you provide with workers?
Yeah.
We can make arrangements?
Yeah.
Yes?
Yeah, we are checked in the Palm Island.
Yes, but do you have enough workers for other projects,
now,
or you have saturated?
Maybe after some time we have some laborers from China.
How long?
Maybe in 1 month. Maybe
in 1 month you will
200,
have?
200, yeah. Maybe have 200, 300 more.
You have 300, 400
yeah.
more, okay. Okay.
Officially, 6 months and contracts in due form are necessary to obtain visas. This young man can fix it up in 1 month for 50 workers. He doesn't need the name of our company nor what we're going to employ these workers for.
Good evening.
But you know, Indian workers is not efficient.
It's not efficient?
Yeah, very slowly they work.
Yeah. Chinese is more.
Yeah, Chinese much better.
How many hours per day can they work for this salary?
For 1 day?
Yeah.
1 day they work for 13.
13 hours?
13.
Okay.
Actually, normal time is 12.
Yeah. 12 because the Indian, they work usually 8 hours, 10 hours, but...
Yeah, but Chinese workers work a long time.
Okay.
Time.
Okay, 13.
Perfecte.
Thank you very much.
Since we left 2 weeks ago, 3 suicides occurred in the camps of the Emirate, as well as 20 deadly accidents on building sites. Nothing for the El Dorado to be afraid of. Meanwhile, 200 laborers ready to take over the work have arrived in Dubai.